Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, our scripture text is found in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you're using the Bibles that are on the seats, it's on page 833. John chapter 6, 833.
Oops,
837. Oh, 837. Just kidding. 837. We're just testing. 837. John chapter 6. And if you're able, would you stand with us as we hear the word of God? 837, John chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs he was doing on the sick. Jesus went on the mountain and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover of the feast of the Jews was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread could not be enough that each of them would get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as many as they wanted. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word. Allow us to absorb, take in, hear, learn, and do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The title of today's message is Bread of Life. I love bread. You probably can see that. But in the town that I was raised in, there were lots of bakeries, and I find that in Fort Wayne, it is exactly the same. There are a lot of bakeries. I've made a note of finding a few of them. Zenia's Bakehouse, Courtney's Bakery, For Goodness Cakes, Sweet Cream Bakery, Nothing Bundt Cakes. I don't know if you've tried that. That's really good. And of course, my favorite, which I would never mention bread without mentioning, this place, Rise and Roll. I did hear the amen on that. But in our examination today, what we're going to look at in John chapter 6 is a consideration of Jesus. I know it sounds churchy to say we're going to open the Bible and look at Jesus, but that is exactly what we're going to do. And please make no mistake about it, Jesus is the bread of life. Even as he feeds 5,000 men plus their families, he is providing a powerful, amazing illustration. And I think anytime that you want to teach me something with food, I'm game. So today we're going to look just at 6 simple points in this passage. It's not the entire passage. I encourage you, this is one of those passages that you can eat and chew multiple times. Please do that. But we'll look at 6 points today as we consider Jesus being the bread of life. First of all, in chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus tells us that we learn from the scripture that the crowds are following him. Now, before we get too crazy on why the crowds are following him, because actually it's a little selfish what they're doing, and we do selfish things too. Somebody say amen. Amen. We do selfish things too, but just note that they are following him. So whether it's for these great mature reasons, I think one day I want to be spiritually mature, wise, I want to be kind, I want to be thoughtful, but actually, why don't I just follow Jesus for any reason at all? I'm thinking about a dear friend who is now in glory. His name is Leland. Leland was a transfer student. He came from another state, and he had gone to school, and at the school he was going to at the time, there was food for students only during the week. On the weekend, you had to figure out what to do, and he saw a sign at the school that said, 25-cent Saturday night dinners at a local church. So he went down to the church to get a good meal. When he gets there, he meets really nice people. He eats amazing church food. And then a young lady comes up to him and says, you know, if you come to church tomorrow, I'll meet you at the door and I'll sit with you. Well, Leland doesn't have any friends. He's from a little town. He gets this idea that says, well, you know, I might have gone to church back home. I guess I'm going to go. So he just think about this for a second. A cheap meal, good food, and you make some friends. And those were the things that became the pathway for him to get close to Jesus. So I just want to encourage you and say, whatever is making you want to follow Jesus, take that. Don't sweat the meaning of it. As I look at Leland's life over the years, he never actually left that town. He ended up seeing the choir the next week. There was a choir singing, and he saw somebody in the choir, and he goes, wow, she seems, look at that beautiful smile. I want to get to know her. So he joins the choir, and then after that, marries that young lady in the choir, and they actually stayed at that church and raised their family to get to know Christ in such a powerful way. From a cheap meal, a good sign that somebody put up and making some friends. What is it that's causing you to follow Jesus? These people that were in this passage are following, the crowds are following him because Jesus heals hurts. They were broken and they knew it, and they said, it says clearly there that the people followed him because he was performing miracles, and so they wanted to get close to him. Maybe for a moment, set aside the rigorous reasons why you might follow Jesus and just follow Jesus. Secondly, see like Jesus. We continue on the passage by verse 5. We see what's happening. Jesus is in this area. The people have followed him. He's gone now. He's with his disciples. He's getting ready to sit down and relax. Suddenly he looks up and it says that Jesus saw the crowds coming towards him and he had compassion on them. I love that Jesus sees not just with his eyes, but with his heart. And he could have said, well, I'm giving them the most important thing myself. Let them take care of their bellies later on. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to tell you, it's difficult because I've been working on this passage so long. And someone says, man, the passage went 3 hours, pastor. You know, we were hungry. I'm like, I'm not worried about that, man. I'm giving you the Bible. It's Jesus. Let's go. Let the dinner at home become a burnt offering, right? But Jesus sees and he doesn't get confused and decides that he feels for them. Don't forget to live compassionately with others in mind. We live in a world that I become acutely aware of myself, of my needs, of my concerns, of the things that are big for me. And it is difficult for us for just a moment to stop and to think about the world around us, the other people, the people that aren't in my family, the people that aren't part of my world, just to be able to think about them. If we were honest, we might even say sometimes at the stop sign or at the stoplight when somebody runs the yellow light, boy, our thoughts about them are not the greatest. We're more worried about other things than we are about those people and their needs. Well, Jesus realized their needs, and he actually begins to talk about it from their perspective because he says, where can we get the bread? We get a lot of in this passage because what we're getting, I don't know if you've ever gotten hungry. We're not going to let you get too hungry today. But if you ever get really hungry, at some point, really, the price of it doesn't really matter. You know, somebody says, well, how much is it? I'm hungry, bro. I'm looking for this. When I go to Five Guys, I never think about how much are they charging me for, you know, what I'm getting. I'm hungry. I want to get the food. Jesus asks where to buy the bread. Now, what happens next is he gets responded to, but they actually don't answer the question that he asks. The third point would be, be a disciple of Jesus. Be a follower of Jesus. Now, we get to look at two of the followers. So Again, let's not be too critical. Just two people along the way, but there by the grace of God go any of us. We're like that. Just two followers. One of them is Philip, and Philip uses logic. Remember, we looked at this in the passage in Philippians, and we talked about putting aside something that was really valuable, putting aside logic for a moment. Philip uses logic because what he says is, Jesus says, well, where do we buy bread? Philip says, look, Jesus, here's what you need to know. 200 denarii worth of bread couldn't give everybody here a little bit. So that's like saying half a year's wages. And it's a logical and honest point, but Jesus actually never asked him how much was the bread going to cost. He just said, where would we buy it? And I think it's interesting because even in asking where would we buy it, Jesus is making an assertion here that he's going to take care of it. So he's not even saying, where can they go buy bread? He says, where can we do the buying at? I wonder... sometimes, am I so busy with my mindset that I miss what Jesus is asking and I answer what I'm thinking about first? Well, not only does Philip answer with logic, but then Andrew speaks into this as well. And he doesn't speak with logic, but he speaks with laughter. So a few moments later, it says that, Andrew's there, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, I can tell you where the bread is. I even got you a deal on it. We don't see that he paid anything to that little boy for the bread. So I got you the deal, Jesus, the kind of deal that we need, right? Truly, they would have been poor preachers, so that would have been a poor preacher's discount like we talked about before. However, he gives Jesus a little economics lesson. Jesus, you need a little message and scale. So you've asked for bread. I'm going to tell you right now, this little boy, can you hear the laughter in his voice? I mean, there are 5,000 hungry men in the room. I'm glad they didn't even mention the women and children because they'll be lucky if they get anything out of this moment. These guys are hungry. And now Jesus turns around and says, where can we get bread? And now one of his disciples says, there's this little boy back here, Jesus. He's got a couple loaves and some fish, but what are these going to do? Again, it's just an interesting moment. Jesus didn't ask, give me the assessment of what's going to happen with it or how we're going to do it. Just tell me where we can get it. That's all he asks. And so he gets a little economics lesson in scale. Jesus, we found the bread, but really, Jesus? Let me explain that there's nothing in comparison to what we need. What are these among so many? Sometimes the joke, the thing that Jesus does is just out of the moment, right? So when he says these words, what are these among so many? It almost becomes the point in which he builds this miracle. And because what are these? What these are these are just a little boy's gift. You never see in the story that the little boy is fighting with him. And I'm thinking to myself, I know a lot of little boys. And little boys tend to be in the mine mode. I was with a little boy this week, and we were at the park. And there was just kind of this moment at the park where all the kids are playing. And what you realize is, the kids are playing and the parents are all nervous. The parents and grandparents are nervous because I don't know if that little boy is going to push my little grandson. I'm nervous. You're watching this whole thing and you're just kind of on pins and needles. And at some point, some little boy brought a toy that looked like something that our little boy had at home. And so suddenly I can hear him from the park, mine, mine. That's what little boys say. They say mine. What are these among so many? They're just what's available. We know nothing about this little boy. All we know, in fact, that he was just within reach of a disciple. That's all we know. He was close by. He was near. He was up front. He was in a close positioning. Which probably, in my mind, thinks he left his parents. Yeah, because parents with kids, they don't sit in the front row. They sit further back because something could happen, right? They might have to leave the room or something. They don't sit in the front row, but this little boy got away. Have you seen that happen in church every once in a while? A little person gets away and they kind of wander around. They're up. They want to be close to what's happening. Couldn't we be like little boys? What this is among so many, it's just enough. It's enough. So, be a disciple, but let's be disciples who aren't attempting to tell Jesus what we want or how wise or unwise it is what he wants. Point number four, scale like Jesus. Jesus spoke earlier in the passage, and he said, well, you know, where are we going to get bread? But actually, there's a little parenthesis that says, and Jesus just did this to test him. He knew exactly what he was going to do. So you watch this moment where he says to the disciples, hey, where are we going to get this? And they all begin to scamper. Oh, Jesus, let me do the calculation for you. We can't afford it. Jesus, this little boy. And then Jesus, after listening to it for a little while, just says, have the people sit down. And it said, so the men sat down. And it gives you the number of men, 5,000. This is a common practice in the Middle East. They counted the men. The men were the ones who counted. Men were the ones who were the number that they counted. So if you just do some rough estimations, you could say most of those adult men were married. Most of those married adult men had children. So even if they just had one wife and one child, maybe there were around 15 to 20,000 people who were sitting down in this moment. So even the thought that Jesus would be paying attention enough to say, I think I need to worry about something else, This is a really great moment when we think about the one who provides it all. I know. You've been in IKEA. I've been in IKEA too. First thing I learned when I went to the IKEA was they have a plan for everything, right? I've never been in a store so big that you could buy something for 10 bucks. So that's the first thing. The other thing I find is there's a route for everything. So if you forget something and you got to backtrack, you got to go back through this gauntlet, this maze to get out. The other thing I realized is they have food in IKEA. So if you haven't got to the food, you really weren't shopping. Because at some point, what they know is, boy, you shop long enough, you're going to get hungry. And if you do get hungry, you know what? Your belly will move you. It's a great point. Jesus is caring. And in this moment, he says, let's take care of this. But Jesus scales. So when he tells them to sit down and you realize how many people are there, you can now have a little more empathy about the disciples who are trying to give Jesus, the carpenter, a little bit of education here that he might not understand. And get it. Certainly you can see how Jesus, and he does this with us too. That is, he makes a plan and then we become the executors of his plan. So Jesus says, you have them sit down. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen when somebody runs out of food? Have you been at that party? When all of a sudden somebody runs out of food? I always think about that when we're doing communion. You know, you unpack the communion, and I just start counting. Well, how many plates there are, and how many of us are there? You know, because you just get thinking about it. What happens when somebody doesn't get it? If you were home, somebody would say, now listen, you wait till all the guests get it, and then you can go to the table and get your food, right? Jesus understands scale. So for Jesus, the issue wasn't the count of people. Hard for us to imagine this with 15,000 people being hungry and Jesus making a simple declaration that says, let's feed them. But it didn't matter if it was one or 1 million. Jesus had a plan which he was going to execute. Point number 5. Pray like Jesus. You know, Jesus gives thanks in this moment, and that to me is always special. You read Jesus praying quite a bit in the Bible, and you see him praying over food. So I think this is interesting because he is the giver of life, the giver of food. He's the supplier. He is the bread of life. He is the bread maker. And yet, Jesus actually gives thanks to his Father for this. This is really beautiful about reminding us having a gracious and gratitude in your heart. We don't see exactly what the prayer is here in John 6, but we can make a few observations. One, he did it because we're told in the text that he did. But he also, I'm just looking at my read of this, and I would love to, I can't wait to get to heaven to find these things out, but my read is it was a quick prayer. Because long prayers you talk a lot about. Have you been anywhere where somebody's prayed too long? And I mean, how long is too long over food? If you pray for a minute over food, people begin to open their eyes and look around to see what's going on. And someone's trying to figure out how to end the prayer. My mom was a master at this. We would be somewhere with some little kids doing vacation Bible school or something, and some little prayer person is just praying down the house. He is cooking that food and making up. And all of a sudden, I can hear my mother saying, and Lord, as Brother Calvin here continues to pray, let us enjoy our food now. Well, can we all say amen? I just think that prayer doesn't have to be long. I think because what his prayer is thanks. And so being thankful is not a ceremony. It's just a heart authentic point. It didn't need to be long. He was thankful. And can you imagine those people who are, for many reasons, chasing Jesus and not even realizing their own need, and now Jesus, who is taking care of their most important need, starts taking care of the other needs too. And it was enough. It was enough. And I'm thinking, it must have been joyful. I mean, just to walk through this moment where all of a sudden everyone's hungry, and every man in the room knew that there was no food in there. They were already trying to get every woman in the room to hurry up and finish up because we're going to go get some food somewhere. And now Jesus is saying, sit down, which means we're going to get food and nobody can see the food because he hasn't made it yet, right? He's about to take miracles. When we see Jesus doing miracles with food, typically the text doesn't give us the language, but it looks like Jesus is breaking from whole loaves. So whenever you see Jesus touching food and he's making more food, the text tends to refer to it as if each loaf is a new and whole loaf. So what are the miracles that we have when Jesus starts making food? Not only does he make food out of food, but also he's making food with his bare hands for 15,000 people. And there's enough. Pray like Jesus. I think, what would that have been like? You ever get in that moment where there's something that you're praying for and it hasn't actually happened yet? So you're asking God for something and you're just waiting for it to see what he's going to do. I have to wonder, were the other people in the rhythm, were the disciples also praying? What were they doing? I just had to love this moment. I mean, we know the story, right? We've got the book. We can skip ahead and see. But what were they doing, right? What's he going to do? I don't even know, man. Give him the bread. He's asked for it. Give him the loaves. And finally, give like Jesus. Verse 11, it says that he took his disciples and he had them involved in ministry. Don't do life and ministry alone. This morning I was getting myself a little cup of tea. And a little boy comes along, and he's getting himself a cup of lemonade. And so all of a sudden, he just starts this conversation. I spilled something, so I'm spilling it out. And he says, what'd you spill? And so I start telling him about what I spilled. He goes, oh, I said, well, I have tea. He goes, well, I'm having lemonade. This is the best lemonade I've ever had anywhere in my life. So he starts telling me this story. And I'm realizing, you know, he's just doing a great job of greeting and encouraging people. I'm just a person standing there getting things. He's just making me feel okay about having something. Could we just remember that we are in a corporate relationship with Jesus, so then we all do our part? He continues to distribute what he has. And then the question I have is, well, how much does he give? And how does he do it? Well, he gives it liberally. He's just giving it away. We have cooks in our family, and whenever we all get together, you know, the cooks start showing off. And sometimes when they're cooking things that they like. So you're kind of watching, how is the food being distributed around the table? Where is the meat sitting? Where is the bread sitting? Who's going to get a chance to get some of this food? I love that it says here, he just gave them as much as they wanted. But Jesus is not the only giver in this story. So is the little boy. Nowhere do you hear the word mine. Nowhere do you hear the word, where is the peace for me? How do I get mine? He just gave and waited. What a great thing for us to think about. What would it be like for you and me to say this? God, here I am. I give you myself. Do whatever you want. Would we be as surprised as that little boy if we saw what God would do with us? Follow Jesus. See like Jesus. Be a disciple of Jesus. Scale like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. Give like Jesus. And like that little boy. Make no mistake about it, Jesus is the bread of life. Father, truly, Lord, we are thankful for who you are and what you've done, and in the message that you give to us, that you are the supply. You are all of it. Help us, God, that like this little boy, we would release ourselves to you. Do whatever you want to do with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.